Welcome to our first installment of What We're Reading on the Fleming Foundation. With us for this series, as always, is our namesake, Dr. Thomas Fleming. Dr. Fleming, how are you?
I'm just fine, Stephen. Thank you.
Happy to kick off this season with a different sort of series than we've done before in our podcast, and I think one that will turn the direction a little more in a format that you and I have really preferred, which is a lot more of an informal chat. I've shared with people before that when I have business calls with Dr. Fleming, we often go down rabbit holes. And in part, I wish I could record some of those because I think that I've learned quite a bit just in some of those informal chats. And I'm hoping to capture a bit of that spirit in this series, in which Dr. Fleming and I just rather casually chat about books that we're reading. This episode, I'm going to go and share some titles that I've been reading recently. And next episode, Dr. Fleming will be sharing things that he's been reading recently. But two books that I've recently finished, come back to for a second or a third time, are Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury and A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare. And I thought I would start, Dr. Fleming, by reading part of the very, very beginning of the text. And this is the main character, Montag, describing what will be a pretty crucial character, Clarice. The autumn leaves blew over the moonlit pavement in such a way as to make the girl who was moving there seem fixed to a sliding walk, letting the motion of the wind and the leaves carry her forward. Her head was half bent to watch her shoes stir the circling leaves. Her face was slender and milk white, and in it was a kind of gentle hunger that touched over everything with tireless curiosity. It was a look almost of pale surprise. The dark eyes were so fixed to the world that no move escaped them. Her dress was white, and it whispered. He almost thought he heard the motion of her hands as she walked, and the infinitely small sound now, the white stir of her face turning, when she discovered she was a moment away from a man who stood in the middle of the pavement waiting. And I think, Dr. Fleming, you and I have sung the praises of science fiction before, but there were moments reading this book that I was carried out of the action and drawn to a particular description that Bradbury has. And I thought this was an example of people who don't necessarily care about science fiction, who aren't interested, who can see that you can have this great description here within the text, and it doesn't sound whatever they might consider like science fiction in their mind.
Yeah, you know, the way you begin a book is extremely important. The great America's best-selling author, Mickey Spillane, once said that he always wrote the first page and the last page first and then filled in. Now, the point the first page is, I think, particularly important because it sets the mood, the tone. It prepares you for what you're about to read. If it starts off with, you know, he puts six slugs into the villain's belly and his guts started pouring out, well, you know what to expect. Similarly, if it's a bug-eyed monster on a distant planet. Here, Bradbury starts with this lovely elegiac passage, which is slow, quiet, romantic. And so we're prepared for a kind of love story, and we're prepared for this quiet world, which of course soon disappears as the novel gets on, because the novel is set in a rather grim future without imagination, without romance, without literature, without any of the things that soften life and make it anything but a brutal struggle for survival. And Bradbury also, by the way, and there are other books in the Martian Chronicles. There are several nice passages. I read a rather second-rate novel of his once, written, I think, late, but it was about him as a young man living along the coast in around L.A., and running into all sorts of weird things. But the prose was actually quite good and evocative, the way Raymond Chandler's descriptions of L.A. at a similar time are quite evocative.
The edition that I had gave some background as to how this work actually got put together. And one of the initial stories that got the ball rolling for Bradbury creatively was from real life.